here we go. Welcome, everybody, to the Tom and Curley Show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a big part of the show. How, you might ask? Well, you get a chance to write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. Come on into the State Roofing text line at 98973. Jump on in. The teeny tiny lady lives in a pickle jar brought in by two horses that live in Sean's apartment. We'll choose the letter of the day. Ready. Where have all the waiters gone? Long time of passing. That's right. On the cusp of the reopening, the labor shortage continues, threatening Washington restaurants and the recovery. Where are they? Heather Bosch was reporting on where
they are. By May of 2020, more than a million Washington State residents had filed for unemployment benefits because of the pandemic. With the state poised to fully reopen June 30th, many employers say they can't find enough workers. The head of the Washington Retail Association, Renee Sundy, with one example.
One of our malls had a hiring event, and they had 112 potential applicants, and only four of them were willing to take an interview.
The restaurant industry reports a similar struggle. Puget Sound-based business giants Amazon, Costco, and Starbucks have all raised their minimum wages to at least $15 an hour to lure and keep employees.
Yeah, you know, this is quite the conundrum, right?
Jeff Schulman is a business professor at the University of Washington.
All of a sudden, companies can't find enough people to work reliable hours.
Seattle University professor Vladimir Dashkiev attributes at least some of this to unemployment benefits.
Stimulus payments are quite substantial.
$300 in weekly checks from the federal government are set to continue until September 4th. Low-wage jobs may not be as attractive. Schulman says other factors include lingering pandemic fears, the availability of childcare or lack of it, and businesses all eyeing that same June 30th reopening date.
Businesses ramping up, and they need people, and they need them fast.
It's unclear just how long this will last, but for now, workers appear to have more influence over what types of jobs, pay, and hours they're willing to work.
Lindsey Graham was talking to the Office of Management and Budget, was asking her about unemployment benefits.
Their belief is that the enhanced unemployment benefit is deterring people from re-entering into the workforce. There's a lot of jobs out there that are unfilled and will never be filled until you change the benefit structure. Does that logic make sense to you, given where we're at in our economy?
She sounds like you on this answer, Tom.
I understand the logic, but I've also not met Americans who would prefer not to work. There's a dignity to work in this country that most Americans
have. Well, I got a lot of people in my family that ain't working because they're getting... I'll show you some in my family.
Ouch! Senator Lindsey Graham calling out people in his family.
Bottom line is, I think there are people out there that are not bad people, but they're not going to work for $15 an hour if they make 23 unemployed. That doesn't make you a bad person. If you're working for $15 an hour, that makes you almost a chump. And I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming us.
It is so crazy that they will actually, some employers will pay you just to come to the job interview. And the teenager employment rate is the highest it's been since 1958, since they started mucking around with the minimum wage. I believe that this is a great way to get employers to raise wages without having to try to pass the $15 minimum wage across the country. What you do is you have the employer now compete against the government. So then the person sitting at home getting paid $22 or $23 an hour, if that employer wants them, they now compete against the federal government's gift of $23. So in effect, you have now forced them, you've seen everybody start to raise up the wages in order to compete against the other great employer known as Uncle Sam. So look at this. You actually have passed minimum wage without having to pass minimum wage.
Well, but maybe you can still pass minimum wage. A lot of minimum wage in individual states has gone up. But yeah, the thing is that
$15, Joe Biden talked about $15 an hour. Warren talked 15. Bernie Sanders, $15 an hour, that this was going to be universal. Well, you had Southeastern states going, well, hold on a second, in Alabama, $15 an hour, right? This is now you have passed it de facto by injecting $23 an hour into the person sitting on the couch, and now the employer can't get them off the couch.
Yes, but that, as this the long Seattle Times article and Heather's report indicates, that's one of the factors, but it's only one of many. We've done this story a number of times, and one of the interesting things they talk about, the restaurants, where the restaurant industry was hit harder than any other industry, the hospitality industry, mm-hmm. and they lost, huge chunks. I don't know if it's 40% of their business or something, yeah. In restaurants, bigger than any other arena. And what they say now is they can't get them back because the people that were working there are now working in other places, like Amazon fulfillment centers or grocery stores and the like, mm-hmm. because yeah. those were the ones that were booming. And then the question is how convenient or then working conditions at a restaurant are not as ideal as the stability of some of these other jobs is being suggested. And so the restaurant industry is really taking it hard.
Well, that actually, here's somebody talking about that, Tom, from the Washington Hospitality Association. Here is Anthony Anton.
But in the hospitality alone, we're short about 90,000 workers.
90,000?
And that is...
That's Ursula from the G. Ursula Show.
Causing a lot of people just... Can I reopen? How am I going to recover? How am I going to start digging out of debt if I can't really get my business restarted? 11 of the Employment Security Department's 14 categories are short workers right now. And that's across wage spectrums. That's across benefit packages. It's all across the spectrum. This is a shortage of workers for a variety of reasons. But I think this is a workers' market. And I think there will be people who recognize that and will want to compete in that market.
Yeah, and so there are other factors, and one of them may be that they're moving into different arenas. So waiters and waitresses may not be making what they've used to be able to make, and they see it as a much less stable industry than they might have beforehand. Here's one good sign, though, if you're concerned for restaurant workers. One good sign. Now, it is true, there'll be a certain percentage of people that are using their employment benefits. They say it's under 40%, but even so, they are going to run out at the end of the summer.
Are
but
they?
The other thing is,
are
yeah,
they?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, unless they'd have to vote more. I mean, are you suggesting that they'll vote more?
Continue it.
Through the okay, so that
why not? Why not continue it? This becomes.
I think there
in
won't
effect,
be
this also becomes. This okay. is the guaranteed income. Well, this becomes part of guaranteed income, or continues to force employers to raise prices.
I swear, in fact, I thought I heard it on our news. I was walking by the radio at the time that they're now you're going to have to start. Looking for a job, you have to claim there are three, jobs or something that you've contacted or something that they are going to put some of those things in play. I think the pandemic concern is going to be waning by the fall. That probably won't happen. But either way, remember, they say, who benefited? So you've got warehouses, you've got Amazon, they all benefited. Who else benefited? Grocery stores. Well, the one thing they said is grocery stores, which have benefited tremendously over the last pandemic year, are going to eventually fall back down to earth. And so there won't be such demand for workers at grocery stores, and then those people may filter back into restaurants. So there may be hope on the horizon in terms of when we're opening up, if we really open up in this state at the end of this month, that the restaurants won't be as short a staff coming down the pike because grocery stores are not going to be – we all lived in grocery stores and ate out of purchases at grocery stores because restaurants weren't open. So that's another positive factor.
That Anthony Anton had said that it's a workers' market.
Yeah, for right now.
Right. It was also a workers' market in 2019, but you had two factors in play. You had the economy was ripping, absolutely ripping, red hot, and you needed workers because you were growing in productivity and businesses were growing. There was not the third factor where the government was paying you to sit at home. as Lindsey Graham points out, if you can sit at home and make $22 or $23 an hour, you'll sit at home. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a smart move. Ursula asks about why these numbers are still the same. By the way, let's remember that schools reopened in April, and the numbers are lower now than they were in December. So you can take that off of because the Biden administration said there's three factors. One, parents can't go back to work because kids are not in school. That's not true
John.
Anymore. Two, the other one was they're concerned about getting COVID. Concerned about getting COVID, and that's no longer the case. It is the fact that you're paying to sit at home.
Okay, wait. Before you play that clip, though, John. Before you play that clip, the educational business doesn't work. I've heard from parents. They say, listen, it doesn't help if Johnny's going to school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That doesn't help. You still need to be home for those other days that you cannot, go back to work on a 2 or 3 day basis with these kids. So some schools opened up, they're not full time yet, and that won't happen until the fall. Anyway, that's just a little context. Okay, now play the clip.
Go back into the workplace when I cannot guarantee that I'm going to have full time hours or that this isn't going to happen again and then I'll lose my shorts again when, in fact, I'm making more right now staying on unemployment.
This is one of the things we talked about earlier when we were trying to push the governor to establish a plan to get reopened. And the good news is now he has. If we offer you work right now, it's for June 30th, and we know that we're going to stay open. And so that instability that was a struggle about a month ago when the governor did announce a plan has given us stability. So I think that was a reason, but I think that reason is now now removed. There are other concerns, but I think right now, for the 30,000 of our workers that are still on unemployment, there are 90,000 jobs available today.
90,000. There are 375,000 food and entertainment workers that lost their jobs, the bartenders, waiters, waitresses, and those that were in the hospitality business. So, but 375,000 in the state of Washington's businesses were destroyed with the governor closing down businesses. So, it has caused the cost of hiring people because a wage is a price and a price is a wage. You buy labor the same way you buy hamburger. You're going to buy the person to come to work. It was Qdoba, or it was the one that normally has a problem with the
Chipotle.
Chipotle just announced today that they will be adding additional cost to all of their burritos. Now a burrito is up to $8 in order to offset the additional cost of having to pay for more people. So you have in effect done it. You've raised the minimum wage. Thank you very much, Joe Biden. Good news.
Well, I mean, it's you make it sound like the pandemic didn't happen.
Tom, there's 23 states in the United States.
First off, what do you mean by this response?
The response of closing things down and then the response of sending $2 trillion into the economy and paying people.
Which was supported by Republicans.
But extended, Tom, to extend it over and over again in order to be able to solicit votes, to buy votes and to buy power. And ultimately what this turns into is, vote for me, here's what I'll give you. I'll give you $300 a week. And they have been talking about guaranteed income, that they might want to continue this past September. Two, we're also going to give you free childcare. Plus, if you have a kid, we're going to pay you $3,000 a month for your kids. Plus, we'll also give you community college. Now, with all of those goodies, why would you want to vote me out of office?
Well, John, that's how democracy works. You have people
that's
do what you want them
Tom.
To do. Want
no,
to do.
That's not democracy. That's where you're
taking
the money. No. That's not democracy. That is where you're paying, you're taking money, and then you are redistributing it, or you're writing blank checks to the voter, so the voter will vote for you because you're giving them lots of free stuff.
I know, but there are a lot of voters that won't do that because they realize it raises taxes, so it's always a balance.
Who? 50%, Tom, of tax, 50% of the population in the United States pays 4% of collected federal taxes. Half of all taxpayers pay nothing.
So what do they care
if taxes go up?
Are you okay? Well, then that's fine. If that's the case, then I don't understand why the Democrats don't win every single election.
Because
that's clearly
they got
not
other
the
crazy
case.
Stuff that they would also like to be able to do, which is get rid of people's Second Amendment rights. Tom, you don't think that's part of it? Plus, they also push for extreme abortion stuff. There are things that people do vote on, but overall,
okay,
if
there
you
go.
Rob Peter to pay Paul, you will never hear any complaints coming from Paul.
Okay, but the problem is that you are suggesting that anything that the voters vote for, they're doing it only for selfish reasons.
Absolutely.
And those selfish reasons are invalid. I know, but then that is what I'm not trying to make this kind of philosophical claim about democracy, but I mean, that's why we have elections. You vote for what you want to see done. And if more people want to have more poor people helped out than the rich, that's the majority. Now, the counter is when you're the rich, you have all the money to campaign and manipulate and whatever else you want to do to get people on your side. That's the constant battle.
No, to believe that the government helps poor people out.
The government's involvement helps
poor people out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that's what we want to do. When you mention things like childcare, we want to support low-income families. We want to support middle-income families. That's the argument that Joe Biden's tax plans are in response to the tax cuts for the wealthier under Trump. That's what the balance is.
And
we've been in this
Bismarck.
Kind of yin and yang economy for a long time between Democrats
Otto von
and Republicans.
Otto von Bismarck. If I can make them dependent, I can count on their vote.
Okay, and are we dependent or not?
We're going to give you community college for free. We're going to give you $3,000 a month for your kids, and you make $200,000 a year. Plus, we're also going to be able to help you with food. Tom, if you make the person dependent, as you become dependent, then you can count on that person continuing to vote for you, right?
Social Security making us dependent in our old age? And is
Social
that a good
Security
or bad thing?
Social Security has destroyed the ability for the individual to be able to save for themselves because they're under the illusion that the money will be there for them.
I know,
news
but
for
more...
you. It's a patsy scheme.
That's fine,
to believe
John.
It.
Most people would disagree with you and like the Social Security system, and they wish they could figure out a way to have it go on longer than maybe it can at this point. You're going to have to devise it, but that's what the legislature, that's what you got Congress doing. They'll try to come up a way to prop that up, because a lot of people like that social safety net. Sounds like you don't want to have any social safety net. If that's the case, then you're in a minority. Doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means that you're in the minority.
I love free stuff, Tom. Who do I have to vote for to get more free stuff?
Well, it depends on what you consider free.
It's where I don't have to pay for it.
Well, okay. I mean, are you serious? I don't know what you would like, John. I imagine maybe a more money for the military. Is that for free? Yes,
that's
for our protection. Okay.
Right, by the way, we're paying less than 1%.
What we're disagreeing with
is
what you want the money to come from.
Yeah. All right. Well, that federal government is constitutionally to defend our shores. I'm fine with that. All right. Here's Tracy Taylor defending
I thought
our
so,
roadways.
And that's free.
Hey, free college. Free college. I got my back.
You bet I do.
Talk to me, Goose. There she comes now. She is bigger. No. Can't really determine between who's bigger and better and more entertaining than the Muckleshoot Casino and Rachel Bell. Hand in hand. It's like one of those famous scenes that people come across the finish line together. They reach over and they grab their hands and run across. And it's like, neither one of us want to take first place because just being able to be here with you. That's the way Rachel Bell feels about Muckleshoot Casino.
That's right. Muckleshoot Casino and I have also been compared to the characters in the movie Twins. You know, we're twins because you can't be... nobody knows, they can't tell us apart, but one of us is a Danny DeVito and one of us is an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, never figured that out. It's
yeah.
crazy how that is.
Maybe we're fraternal twins,
that's
I guess.
Yeah.
My parking lot isn't anywhere as big as Muckleshoot Casino's. Yet.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
All right, hey, what did you think of that kooky story about the wristbands?
hey, I like it. So, you know, obviously we're coming out of the pandemic. People are starting to go back to weddings and some events and going back to work. And everybody has a different feeling about how they want to interact with people. Some still don't want to touch or be 6 feet, you know, close to someone at all, even if they're vaccinated. Some people are cool with doing an elbow bump. Some people are hugging again. So there has been a little teeny easy invention for solving this problem, which is offering colored wristbands, green, yellow, and red. Green means come and get it, baby. Hug me, kiss me, whatever you want to do. Yellow means I'm not so sure yet. Maybe do an elbow bump. And red means I don't want to touch you. Maybe don't come so close to me. So in this article in the Wall Street Journal, they were talking about various events that offered these, like the Chesterfield Chamber of Commerce in Virginia, who's been doing events again. And then they have a little sign that explains how it all works, how the colors work. And then the idea is that people will be respectful. I like this idea. I know that it to some might feel like you're being treated like a child. You don't have to use them. It is totally optional. But I think, first of all, there were people before the pandemic who were not huggers and couldn't really find a way to tell people not to touch them. This is the perfect way to just signal without having the conversation. Like a couple weeks ago, I went to a friend's backyard. It was just him and I around his fire. And I got there and we're both vaccinated. And I said, oh, can I hug you? And he immediately said no. And it was a little embarrassing and rejecting. I mean, it's fine, but he explained that, you know, someone he sees in his life isn't fully vaccinated yet, so he's trying to stay safe for them. But if he was wearing the red bracelet, I could have just saw it and not had that slight embarrassing moment. And aren't we all just trying to avoid awkward and embarrassing moments every day of our lives?
So, John and I both think this is ridiculous.
Really?
Thank you, Tom. Yes. Yes.
Why?
And I, can throw Sherry in too.
Who's going to wear a red one? Come on.
I think here's, John, here is my suggestion. I think all the cool kids will wear the red ones. First off, it makes absolutely no sense, Rachel, to go to a group, gathering group of people, like a chamber and commerce get together or a neighborhood thing, and be concerned about interacting with people. It's like anybody, who is really red wouldn't go to these stupid things anyway. It's the lamest idea. I can't believe that you don't have your tongue in your cheek, Rachel, when you actually say that.
I don't agree, though. I think there's a lot of people who feel okay being at an event, especially if it's outdoors and they're vaccinated, but they don't want to hug and they don't want to shake hands. I think those are the people. It's not the people who are super paranoid, who don't want anybody around them. And I think a lot of these people felt this way before the pandemic, and they're blaming the pandemic for it. But like, I even heard this morning on Seattle's Morning News, Colleen O'Brien said she's never liked handshakes. She thinks they're gross. I mean, I went to a press conference a few weeks ago and I just automatically came back. I met someone and I put my hand out and they gave me a really weird look. Basically, what you're learning is I'm trying to force myself on everybody. I want to touch everyone and nobody wants me to touch them. So again, if there was a little red bracelet, they wouldn't have had to turn bright red, which was their signal to me. And
or maybe you greeners should just back off. Just assume while we're in the midst of this pandemic that, let's not approach. Let's not touch. Unless somebody asks you, hey, Rachel, how come you didn't give me a hug? Then you've got permission. But otherwise, you just the default should be, just sort of hands off. And then we'll sort of, you know, play it by ear.
I've been doing that for like 16 months. I'm starting to go off the rails. I'm touching people. I'm accidentally touching people.
I don't think people would, if you give the three different colors, right, the red, the yellow, and the green, I don't think people, as Tom points out, the red people wouldn't wear it because you would naturally be ostracizing those people, or they would be off, where would they be, by themselves or be standing around a bunch of other people that are also wearing red bands? It doesn't make any sense. It's just, that's not the way we operate. I have been in social situations recently where the person gives you the elbow or gives you the fist bump. You go to shake their hand and you end up shaking their fist. Have you done that one yet? You put your hand out to shake their hand and they've now turned it into a fist. And now you're holding onto it like it's a giant kind of ball in your hand.
Just wagging it up and down.
Up and down, right. Or they reach out with their elbow. How many of this has happened to me? They do the elbow thing and you grab onto it with your mouth and then you're holding onto their elbow with your mouth. You know what I'm talking about, Sean?
I'm doing it right now.
Rachel, wow. We're so alike.
Oh, we are so alike. Okay, are you Danny DeVito or are you Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's what I want to know.
Arbibach.
By the way, I think that guy just didn't want to hug you, Rachel. First of all, he's probably vaccinated because he's like you.
He is.
You're vaccinated as well. So both of you don't believe the science because you're outside. You've been vaccinated, but you still are taking the precautionary measures of not, hugging each other?
I think he was trying to be careful for someone who lives in his house who wasn't fully vaccinated, who he didn't want to be a transmitter from.
Okay. Well, you're vaccinated. He's vaccinated, and you're outside. But it's more about you. That's like, you know, that's breaking up with somebody. It's not you. It's me. No, it's you. I'm just saying that so it doesn't seem as bad. That guy just didn't want you hugging him with your hair coming at him and everything.
Flying into his mouth.
Yeah.
And my elbow was already in his mouth, so there wasn't any more room for my hair.
By the way, John, the next Cairo... get together when we're all post-pandemic. Well, I bet Marn will have red, yellow, and green bracelets for all of us.
And I bet I won't be there.
All right.
Thank you, Arbel. Appreciate it. By the way, Rachel announced on a commercial that she thinks she's reincarnated from a pizza.
I heard that.
That was very interesting. I didn't think it happened. All right, Tracy Terrell, looking at traffic for us. By the way, the know-it-all quiz tomorrow. Big, big prize for the know-it-all quiz. Because normally I'd make fun of Jacob when it's the Cairo Radio's prize pack, but no way. Tomorrow, the know-it-all quiz. Don't forget that it's going to be happening tomorrow. You get a chance to get on the phone to get on the air. Tomorrow's quiz winner is going to get two tickets to see comedian Brian Regan at the Paramount Theater. Very funny man. Great comedy. Yes. So that's a big, big step up. That's Brian Regan coming back to town again. He always sells out. We're going to give two tickets because we thought one was just awkward. Two tickets to see Brian Regan at the Paramount Theater.
At the Paramount. So Paramount is reopening? Because theaters haven't been open for a long time.
It's going to be weird. Just you, the person you bring with you, and Brian Regan all at the Paramount Theater. Thanks to the.
He'll be wearing a red band.
I believe the show is February 12th, so it's a while away. But
Okay.
I think the pre-sale tickets just started.
I see. Okay.
Look at Tom looking only at the negative.
No,
Brian Regan tickets. Tom, very funny.
Jacob, I
think it's
great.
Remember what that bit was? I couldn't remember what it was we were talking about.
It's so frustrating. We just referenced Brian Regan, but none of us can remember why or what the joke was.
But the listener wrote in and said the person you're thinking of is Brian Regan.
That's right.
But I don't remember what it was. Okay. Tom wasn't here for that one. All right. Let's see. What do we have time for? Ba-ba-da-ba. Anything you want to jump in there, Tom, in the remaining, two
minutes? I think just this is because it's a one note thing. Seattleites, we're the top of the nation for taking vacations now that COVID's plummeting. We just announced today, I think, that we reached that herd immunity level of 78%, in Seattle or something. And we are, except for Phoenix, we're the busiest traveling city right now in the country. Phoenix at 35%. They say the only reason Phoenix is ahead of us is because it's hotter than blazes. It's like 100 degrees down there. And a lot of people are getting the heck out of Phoenix. The survey was staying overnight and being at least 100 miles away. In Seattle, 32% of us, there's some plan to be gone for at least an overnight over 100 miles away in the next 4 weeks or 4 months. They have a chart in the Seattle Times that says 4 months. If that's the case, that would include me. But if it's 4 weeks, like the copy says, that wouldn't. But that's some significance that there are that many of us planning. There's this pent-up energy to leave. And they say, of course, one of the reasons why Seattle is so high also is that it costs money to travel. And Seattle has there are a lot of well-to-do people in Seattle.
Plus, don't forget, 50% of Seattle employees can work from home. So there you go again. You can wrap your vacation in and you're still working even though you're staying
somewhere nearby.
That's also part of the thing. People were doing that last year. I remember talking. They said, the kids, they've got this hybrid school ridiculous thing we're doing, so we're just going to go to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Before Hawaii started shutting things down. How long? Oh, we're going to go there for like 3 weeks. Good Lord. That's right, because they could work from home. Why not? The kids sitting by the pool, acting like they're paying attention to some class. They're online when they're not really online, and the whole family's just taking a vacation while yeah. also appearing to be working.
I met somebody who was staying at a house on our block, a couple and three kids, all grade school age kids, and they sold their house in L.A. They were moving to Austin, but they were traveling through all the western states on their way to Austin, going to be in Austin by September, and they were visiting Seattle for the first time. And they said, yes, we can do our kids can have school wherever we are, and we get to see the country at the same time.
Yep.
Smart move, if you can afford it.
By the way, I haven't seen Dougie in 5 days. He drove down to Arizona to pick up his parents. I'm like, you mean your parents' remains? He goes, no, my parents. Well, Tom,
you're terrible.
Well, come on, look at that guy. They're 94 and 96 years old.
Wow.
He drives down to Phoenix and he picks them up and then drives them back. And I said, well, where do they stay? They stay in the trailer in the backyard. I'm like,
that's the Clum way.
Oh my God! Well, listen, his grandmother's remains are in the back of an old Pontiac that's also on his property. So it's not that far.
You're living next to a cemetery.
Yes. Oh my God! But I haven't seen him in 5 days. I'm worried about him. I know he's been trying to lose weight, so we'll see how he does. By the way, I went next door to a new neighbor I met, 95-year-old guy named Mick, who's a famous painter. Took me to his house, a beautiful work that he does. I was out there cutting, splitting wood for him, and he kept going, you don't have to do this. I said, Mick, I know I don't have to, okay? And why are you doing it? I said, I don't know. It seems like
altruism.
A nice thing to do. So I go to stack the wood for him, and he goes, don't stack it. You're horrible at stacking wood. It's like, all right, you know, old man, stack your own wood.
It's a great thing about being 95. You don't have to care about how people react to what you have to say.
Not at all. Tracy Taylor looking at traffic, all 95-year-olds driving out there.